You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, we do not know what they want. They do not know themselves what they really want.
I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it.
Brexit means Brexit.
To Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire, and now we are going to Moscow. Major political change is happening in Russia right now as President Vladimir Putin announced major constitutional changes in his annual address. The amendments Putin put forward include term limits for the president, more authority for parliament, which will be able to choose the prime minister, and wider powers for the state council. I spoke with Professor Graham Gill of the University of Sydney to find out what these changes mean to Russian politics and why Putin decided to change the constitution.
Well, according to the current constitution, the president is directly elected by the people, and he then nominates a prime minister who is approved by the state Duma. So the president actually chooses the prime minister, and the Duma approves of it. Under Yeltsin, that was a problem for the president, but under Putin, that's not been a problem. What he's proposing instead is that instead of the president choosing the prime minister, the prime minister will instead be chosen by the state Duma and then approved by the president, with the president not having the power to refuse to approve it. So what it means is that instead of the prime minister and the government being responsible to the president, they will then be responsible to the state Duma. So it introduces a system rather more like New Zealand's and Australia's, that is a parliamentary style system, although it would be a president, rather than a presidential system like in the US.
And now after these changes, it will be a reduced presidency. So what powers will the Kremlin still have?
Well, it's not immediately clear how it's all going to work itself out, because we haven't seen the precise details of what he's suggesting. But the point is that it will mean that the president is less directly involved in policy making and responsible for policy making than he is at the moment. At the moment, formally, the president is responsible for foreign affairs and the Prime Minister for domestic affairs, but actually, of course, the President has final say in both spheres. If this goes ahead, the likelihood is that the President will not have as much a sway or as much a say in either international politics or in domestic politics. That power and that authority should shift to the Prime Minister.
Another aspect that Putin's constitutional changes involved is the Russian State Council. So what is the State Council, the constitution today?
The State Council is a purely advisory body that was set up by Putin. This would embed it in the constitution, and it would presumably give it some sort of a general oversight role. And the suggestion is that Putin might step down from being president either when his term concludes in 2024 or earlier, if he decides to step down, and move into the position as head of the State Council, and that would give him sort of general oversight of what happens without having direct control of the levers of policy.
But in general, why does Putin decide to make these constitutional changes? Is it just to make sure he still has power after 2024?
Well, it may be that. The point is, of course, Putin is almost 70. That's not very old, but when the expected life of a Russian male is in the low 70s, he is getting on within a Russian context, and it's quite clear that he's grown somewhat tired of the being involved in the detail of policy formulation. And so I think what he wants to do is to step back, give himself a continuing position potentially through this leadership of the State Council, but not have to get involved in all of the nitty-gritty of policy development and policy analysis. So that if this comes off and he does choose to play that role, and we don't know that yet, but it would mean that what he would have will be a general oversight view, something like like Lee Kuan Yew had in the last years of his life in Singapore, for example.
And are those constitutional changes quite supported in Russia?
Well, it's not clear at the moment because they came as a shock to everybody. So there's been no opinion polling data which would really tell us one way or the other what people think. And as I said, I mean, the details still remain to be seen. He said that the changes should be put before the people so that there will be a popular vote on them. That, I guess, would tell us whether they're popular or not, although the likelihood is that if Putin supports them, a majority of people will support them as well.
Currently, Dan, now, there's still 4 more years until Putin needs to step down. Why does he suddenly decide to announce these changes?
One reason might be that if he let things go on as they were, he would effectively become a lame duck president, in the sense that people know that he can't be president again unless something unusual happens, if he changes the constitution to make that possible or something like that. And once you are a lame duck president, it means that people give you less, accord you less authority. Increasingly, people begin to mobilise at the top of the political system for the succession because they know that the succession is coming and that they really don't have much to fear from the president because he is in this lame duck situation. So by, in a sense, clarifying what the situation is going to be like once he ceases to be president, he does away with that lame duck status. And that thereby, in a sense, continues to enable him to project his power into the future.
If Putin wants to hold state power in Russia, why can't he just did what he did in 2008 when he swapped the presidency for a prime ministership with Dmitry Medvedev?
Because I think he's sick of the policy detail that is involved in that job, because that job clearly does involve direct participation in the working out of policy in all of its details. And I think Putin, given his age, he wants to step back from that. But he doesn't want to completely give up power. So he's potentially establishing this general oversight position, which would enable him to retain a degree of power without being bogged down in policy papers and the policy detail.
Following Putin's announcement, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev and the whole cabinet resigned and he was replaced by Mikhail Mishustin. This decision took a lot of people by surprise because Medvedev was a close ally of Putin. And as mentioned earlier, when Putin's first stint as president ended in 2008, he was forced to vacate the office as, according to the current constitution, Medvedev replaced him as president while Putin served as prime minister until 2012. Now, what does that mean for Medvedev and who exactly is Mishustin? I discussed these questions with Associate Professor William Partlett of the University of Melbourne.
My expectation is he was asked to resign because what's happening now is there's a transition of power going on, a slow transition of power, and Putin has asked Medvedev to make way so that they can find a successor and they can move to in 2024, a new president.
And Medvedev is now serving as the vice president of the Security Council. So what exactly is the Security Council?
It's an institution that it works under the office of the president that makes decisions with regards to security decisions and so forth, coordinates the security policy of the Russian Federation. So it's a position with some power, but not as powerful as the head of the prime minister.
So it is safe to say that Medvedev has been demoted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. And now by his demotion, does it mean he has been thrown aside by Putin himself, or can we expect to see him back at the full light of politics in Moscow?
That's a good question. Predicting Russian politics is a very dangerous thing. It's hard to tell at this point what is going to happen with Medvedev. I will say, though, the bigger story here is the constitutional changes that are being made, the actual fundamental changes to the Russian structure of government. I think there, you know, the political short-term movement of individuals like Medvedev and others is one thing, right, which is a kind of short-term political move. But the broader story here, if you're looking for a story to write about what's significant about this long-term, is the changes that Putin has proposed and that have now been introduced to the Duma, Russian parliament, to change the constitutional structure. And as many people have suggested, including myself, to actually protect Putin when he steps down from the presidency in 2024, so the kind of structural constitutional changes, I think, is the big story coming out of this. The personnel changes are hard to tell what's going to happen, other than that there currently is a significant kind of shift going on in the way that the government's going to work going forward.
And let's talk about his successor, Mikhail Mishustin. So a lot of us outside who doesn't have really a focus on Russia don't really know who that is. So who exactly is Mishustin?
Well, I mean, a lot of people who study Russia, like I do, had no idea who he is. I mean, he's the head of the tax. He's an obscure individual who was the head of the tax ministry, who no one really had any idea who he was. He's never been mentioned as anyone who would ever replace Putin or even be prime minister. So he's been put there because he's loyal. He's been put there because he has absolutely no political or public profile. So he's completely controllable. He is a technocrat who will do as Putin says. So that's who, as far as I can tell, who he is. He didn't even have a English language Wikipedia page until he was appointed. So this caught everyone off guard, including people who study the region. So, it's fair to say that it was a surprising choice, but one that is likely he's there for, I think most people think he's likely going to be there for a little while, but he's not going to be particularly big player in Russian politics going forward.
Mm-hmm. But in retrospect of all of this, is this significant in Russian history? What, even maybe even stretch it back to the Soviet Union?
Oh, it's significant, again, from what I was saying before, more from the fact that there are at least proposed changes to how the actual government is structured, and in particular, there might be, we'll see, we're still waiting to see what the precise details are, but a fundamental or a shifting of power in how Russia is governed. At the moment, it is a highly presidential system where the president dominates all forms of Russian politics, and at least seems possible that with these changes that are now being proposed by Putin, and if he steps down from the presidency, that the presidency will be less dominant. And that's significant from a historical point of view, I think. But again, we have to wait and see what the final changes are to the constitutional structure. Potentially, the long term could be that as a way to ensure himself, right? Because, obviously, if Putin steps down from the presidency, he doesn't want a really, really strong next president to imprison him or put him on trial or something like that. He has to weaken the presidency. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself is significant. Right? It means that to give himself political insurance, he actually has to change the structure of the government somewhat. And that is a big shift, potentially could be a big shift. So I think that's kind of what I think a lot of people are thinking is significant about what's happening now.
That was me talking to Professors Graham Gill and William Partlett about the current situation in Russia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.